Last seen sleeping off his wedding night in the back of a 1951 International Harvester pickup truck. Writer Michael Perry is now living in a rickety farmhouse on 37 acres, along with four pigs, dozens of chickens, and his wife and two little girls. Perry's last book was a much-acclaimed memoir called Truck, A Love Story. His newest is called Coop, A Year of Poultry, Pigs, and Parenting. He told Ann Strange Champs that America does seem to be in the midst of another back-to-the-land movement, with a few key differences.
My one memory of the back-to-the-land movement of the 70s, I was a pretty small tyke back then, but old enough to remember this pretty clearly, is that we had a group of folks who moved in, and they, as I recall, they bought three farms in a triangulated relationship, roughly, to my father's farm. And they announced that they were going to commit agriculture in a communal manner. And this involved equipment sharing, which meant they spent most of their time just running from farm to farm with their equipment. And I remember during haying season one time, they came by for about the seventh time that day, and they would hook all their gear together. Their tractor would be hooked to the mower, hooked to the rake, hooked to the baler, hooked to a hay wagon, hooked to another hay wagon, and there'd be various communal members sprawled around the equipment. And they would go back and forth and back and forth. And on this particular day during haying season, they went by for about their sixth or seventh time. And my father just stood there. He was a quiet man, not a man to say anything nasty about anyone, but a man of some wry observation. And as they slowly disappeared into the woods on our little country road there, he just watched. And then he said, wonder how long that's going to last. And of course, in that specific instance, it really didn't. My observation, and I'm not an expert, this is just me talking here, but is that, yes, it is happening again, but it seems to be happening, and this is where I take some hope, in a more realistic way, smaller steps. We're a perfect example. Boy, my wife and I, we're not at the cutting edge of anything. We wouldn't pretend to be. We're just taking little steps, trying to raise more and more of our own food. Even at our small level, we have to constantly pull back and realize, no, you know what? Six pigs is too many. Let's get four again.
Well, you and your wife both grew up on farms, so I guess you must not have had too romanticized a vision of what small farming could be.
Not at all. That really helped. My wife grew up on a truck farm. Her stepfather raised beef cattle. And I grew up on your standard small dairy farm, red barn, black and white cows. Both of us knew what true farming entailed. That helped. Nonetheless, you still get in over your head because you have a vision of what you'd like to do, and you find out that that vision requires a whole lot of work and, above all, a whole lot of presence. Day after day.
So what was your vision? What made you and your wife want to move back to the land? Because you're a writer, you've worked as an EMT, you've trained as a nurse. You know, you didn't have to do this.
Well, I've always wanted to move out into the country, although I go to great lengths right in the beginning of Coop to say that I hope I can be the kind of parent who doesn't confuse my children with the idea that rural equals righteous. I mean, one of the neat things we're seeing now are things like the urban chicken movement. You don't have to move out to a farm. Mm-hmm. But because I was raised on a farm and I liked the country, I always in the back of my mind hoped I'd end up back on a farm. Now we have a bunch of ducks and we got about 80 chickens, some meat chickens, some laying hens, some new laying hen chicks. I just picked up four pigs yesterday, and I was up at midnight in the rain carrying them one by one out of the mud into the hutch because they haven't learned what the hutch is yet. And so at midnight, I was carrying muddy feeder pigs against my chest.
Okay, this is the point at which a lot of people would say, you know what, maybe this farming thing is not quite what I bargained for. Well, maybe this is a little more work.
Yeah, I think that's part of the humor and the seriousness of it. You realize that it's 11:30 at night, it's bugging me, I wonder if the pigs came in from the rain. And so the serious part is the husbandry. You really must get up and go check on your animals. And so I went out there, and sure enough, they were all piled up on each other and out in the rain getting pelted. And so I had to get them in. And there, as far as I could see, I tried to herd them a little bit, and it was just a complete train wreck. And so I said,
well. You can't herd pigs?
Not in an open space like that. So I just started picking them up one by one and carrying them in, and I put them in a corner, and then I went in the house and I stayed up for an hour and read a little bit and went back out to check to make sure they'd stayed in there. And when I shone the light in, it was wonderful because they were all over in a dried corner, back in a big pile, sound asleep, literally snoring. So then I could go back to bed with a feeling of inner peace because the pigs were dry and happy.
So at moments like that, do you think, why don't we just move back to town and buy our bacon in the supermarket like everybody else? Or do you think, wow, life is good?
Oh, no, I love it. But also the payoff is that we will have bacon at the end of the year, and it's going to taste really good because my buddy Bob, the one-eyed beagle, the local butcher, is going to smoke it for me, and I'm going to know where it came from, and the kids help feed it. And I can't stress enough, we are at best boutique farmers. I mean, the person who really is struggling is the person who's got a herd of milk cows and trying to figure out how they're going to feed their kids on the current price of milk.
You actually wound up investing in the pigs before the chickens, am I right?
Yeah, I got the pigs first because I had then, once we knew we were moving to the farm, I had started reading about pigs and they sounded pretty cool. And my brothers had raised pigs and I found them interesting. And my dad wouldn't have a pig on the farm. He didn't like the way they smelled. When we got our pigs, I was a little concerned, first of all, about my daughter, because the day I brought them home and I let them loose in the pen, they went grunting off and started digging and rolling in the dirt. And my daughter said, oh, they're cute. And they were. And she said, I'm going to call that one Wilbur and that one's Cocklebur. And I had to explain to her, you know, honey, in October, we'll butcher the pigs and they're going to be our food in the winter. And she said, I know. But I wasn't sure if she really got it. But a couple of weeks later, some city relatives came to visit and she took them down to show them the pigs. And when I walked down there, I arrived just as she was saying to them, well, that one's Wilbur and that one's Cocklebur. But in October, that one's ham and that one's bacon. And so I figured she was clear on the concept.
You have a story about butchering day, which I was thinking, you know, your daughter was 6 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. And even if she understood that the pigs were theoretically going to be butchered, actually having the butcher arrive and the pigs killed might be traumatic, but she turned out to be pretty hard-hearted about it.
I chickened out because when he came to butcher them, we had them butchered right on the farm there. I just thought, you know, I don't really want to have her watch this process. And I had her in the house, and this butcher, this one-handed butcher, this great character, he asked me, he had already killed the pigs, and he was starting to cut them up, and he said, where's your daughter? He knew I had a daughter. And I said, well, I have her in the house. He goes, well, I think that's a mistake. And so I went in the house, and I asked her, I said, you can come out if you want. And then this gentleman, this butcher, turned this into an amazing exercise in anatomy and physiology. He went through that whole pig and he showed her the parts, talked about how they worked, compared them to how a human functions. And she was fascinated. And he was right. At the end of the day, it was a great experience for her.
I think I remember he said, who's going to crawl inside?
Well, yeah, he has a joke he does with all kids who watch him butcher when he has the pig and he's ready to eviscerate it. He says, who's shortest here? And the little kid puts her hand up and she goes, you got boots on? And she says, yes. And he basically then says, oh, because I need you to crawl up in there and push the guts out. And she just kind of looked at me and then she eventually grinned. She got the joke. And again, that's the kind of thing where I think maybe in the description it sounds horrifying, but in the moment, it was just part of the deal. This guy was great. You know, he made a huge impression on her.
Now, along with the livestock, the baby pigs and the chicks, you also wound up assisting in the home birth of your own daughter.
Yeah, we moved into this old farmhouse. I call it a slantways farmhouse. It's out at the end of a dead-end road, and there's a fairly long driveway, and the house is originally a log cabin built in the 1880s. And we were in that old house in the middle of winter, and my wife said she wanted to have the baby in that house. My response was to say, ha, 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 in a real high-pitched way. And then her gaze hardened, and I realized she was serious. So we started to go see a midwife, and we prepared and got a birthing tub. And I write pretty openly in the book that I had some pretty deep reservations, and I wasn't entirely in favor of it. But I trust my wife, and I love my wife, and I could see it was what she wanted. And in the end, it was a wonderful experience.
So how do you find time for writing on top of, farming is notoriously sunrise to sunset. When do you write?
Oh, again, please let me stress. I make my living writing magazine articles and books. I have in my wife a partner who agreed to a certain lifestyle, and she is everything to me, and none of this would happen without her. I guess what I'm saying is I don't necessarily see a separation. Obviously, the writing is where I give the preponderance of my focus, because that's what pays the rent. But what I like about what's happening now is you're seeing folks get six chickens for their backyard and their own eggs, or folks like us who are, we're not pig farmers. We raise four pigs a year. But we're integrating that. And that's where I think, you know, there's this whole idea that you're either a farmer or you're not a farmer, or you're a writer or you're nothing else, or you work as an accountant and you're nothing else. Well, there was a time when folks used to work a factory job, or they worked at the blacksmith shop, or they were the town dentist, and they had a pig and some chickens in the backyard. And so I think that's, if we're striving for anything, it's to integrate those things, you know, and not necessarily for my kids to grow up and say, I was raised on a farm. But for my kids to say, when we were kids, we had pigs and chickens.
And to say, my dad made up his life the way he wanted it.
Yeah, I will say that is part of it. The idea that I get to go out and talk about books and write books and travel and then come home. And I mean, you and I are talking not 4 hours ago. I was in the pig pen. And I'm thrilled that things turned out that way. Grateful.
Writer Michael Perry is the author of Truck, A Love Story, and most recently Coop, A Year of Poultry, Pigs, and Parenting. He spoke with N. Strange Champs.